Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Good evening and welcome. Nice to have your company at another edition of Live on Era. Today we are live from Ireland as we were last week. I do hope I find you well and that you had a nice week as well. Now, weather conditions in Ireland have been absolutely superb. We had some rain over the weekend, but nothing to be crying about, as the man says. Temperatures up a little bit as well, and it's been a little bit windy. I know that you have been enjoying some good weather in Spain, so that is nice. What have we got coming up on the programme today, the Irish programme? Well, I was filling in for Hannah on Daybreak there for a week just before I came back to Ireland. And one of the things that Hannah does on the programme is Hannah's Happy Headline. And what I decided to do for that week was, rather than go searching for happy headlines, I thought I'd play some Irish comedy. And it went down really well. And I thought, you know what? I think I should feature some Irish comedy on Live on Era. So that's what we're going to do. So today we're going to start a new feature with some Irish comedy, and more details on that later. I'll be playing for you the number one song in Ireland on this very day, the 23rd of September in 1966, the year before I was born. George Lee will be here. We will have the G2 Summit. Indeed, George Lee and Ger Sweeney, the two G's, G2 Summit. See, that's where the name comes from. And I'll be giving you some news of bits and pieces that are happening in the near future. And indeed, things that you might want to mark into your calendar as well, some future dates, all right? And I'll bring you some news from the area that you can enjoy and you can get involved in, no matter what nationality you are. So that's what we have coming up for you, and some great music in there as well. We will, of course, have the famous Irish birthdays as per usual, and in fact that is exactly where we are going to start right now. Today, the 23rd of September, it is the birthday of Thomas Kilroy. Now, Thomas Kilroy was a playwright. He was born in Callan in County Kilkenny in 1934 on this day. Tomorrow is the 24th of September. Arthur Guinness. What would we do without Arthur Guinness? Arthur Guinness was born in Dublin on that day in 1725, and Evan Boland, the writer, was born in Dublin in 1944. Wednesday is the 25th of September. Maria Doyle Kennedy, the actor, was born in Dublin in 1964. Ronnie Whelan, who played soccer for Republic of Ireland and Liverpool, was born in Dublin on that day in 1961. Gordon Wilson, do you remember Gordon Wilson? His daughter, Mary, was killed in the Enniskillen bombings a number of years back. Well, he became a politician and a senator, and he was born in Manor Hamilton on the 25th of September in 1927. Gordon Wilson, no longer with us. Tony O'Malley, the self-taught painter, was born in Callan as well. Wow, Callan's only a tiny little spot, and here we have two people this week from Callan celebrating a birthday as well. They're not celebrating anymore because they're no longer with us. But Tony O'Malley was born in Callan in 1913. Friday, it's actually the final day that we have birthdays this week. Friday, the 27th, George Lee. No, not our George from the G2 Summit. George Lee, who is an RTE journalist and has been for many years. He was also a Fianna Fáil, also a Fianna Gael, Freudian slip, a Fianna Gael TD for a number of years, left his seat and came back to journalism in RTE. And I know that his sister listens to the programme. So I'll say hello to Dolores. Anyway, happy birthday to George on Friday the 27th, born in Dublin in 1962. And Brian Mullins, wonderful Dublin footballer, was born on that day in 1954. There we go. That is a quick look at some of the famous birthdays that I have for you this coming week on the programme. And there are no musical birthdays in there, so I thought I'd take this particular track. I came across it during the week. I was listening to some stuff from years and years and years and years and years ago. And I played this track on a particular occasion that I just happened to have a recording for. And I said, you know what? Haven't heard it in ages. Here's a man who's from Dublin as well. Frontman for Aslan, born in Dublin. And he's a great singer called Christy Dignam. Here's a song called Chasing Shadows. It is Live on Era on Monday evening on Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. And the programme is brought to you, as always, in association with emeraldconnection.net. Could have my life, 'cause when you're looking at me, is that The wonderful Christy Dignam. That's a song called Chasing Shadows. That's taking us back about 30 years. And when it was released, I remember it was on a double A side. I can't remember what was on the other side. That was my favourite one, obviously. Chasing Shadows from Christy Dignam. Right, let's do a very quick break. Come back to me just after that and we'll have a few laughs. We will, with Dara O'Brien.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
We're going to start a brand new feature where I'm going to feature a different Irish comedian every week on the programme. And today I have chosen Dara O'Brien. Now, if you were listening a little earlier on at the start of the programme, I told you this particular idea came from the fact that I filled in for Hannah for a week on Daybreak. And when I was doing so, rather than doing Hannah's happy headline, I featured an Irish comedian each morning. And I got to thinking that I should be playing more comedy because we have wonderful comedians, and I thought, yeah, why not do that? So I'm starting that today. Here is Dara O'Brien.
You do take up new interests as you get older. You know, sometimes it's something like jazz or classical music or red wine or whatever, right? Like, but you do. And the one difference between being in your older and being in your 20s, with respect to my 22-year-old friend, right, is that when you're older, you don't have this terrible desire to be the master of it, to own it, to know everything about the subject. And you know you're never going to catch up with people who've been into this for 25 years, right? Whereas when you're in your 20s, it's a very important thing to a man, the cultural choices he makes. So he'll suddenly discover the movies of Martin Scorsese and watch all of them and tell you what the best one is, right? And then I'm really into the Smiths now, so I've listened to all their albums and this is the best one, right? Yeah. And like, that's really, really interesting for a man in his 20s. But when you're in your 40s and you hear a man in his 20s going, no, this is the best album, or this is the best film, it sounds exactly like a six-year-old going, no, a stegosaurus is the best dinosaur. I didn't think there could be a best. Not the Tyrannosaurus Rex. No, its back is unprotected from attack. Whereas in your 40s, you're a lot more confident about these kind of things. And even things that used to be previously quite intimidating, like a classical music shop, because of the dust and the vinyl and the levels of erudition, now as an older, more confident man, you can walk in there and just walk to the counter and hum some shit from an ad and make them find it for you. And there is an exquisite pleasure in doing that, going, hello, do you have anything by the man who went... Do you mean the Lurpak butter ad? Is that what you're talking about? Is that... Yeah, him, the little butter guy. Did he release any more songs, or was he a bit of a one-hit wonder? There's a very famous story in the psychological sciences about a man called Phineas Gage. Have you heard of Phineas Gage?
Yeah.
Loads of you heard of it. Phineas Gage worked in the railways in America in the 1840s, 1850s. His job to pin down the railway lines using metal spikes that he would fire into the ground using explosive bolts, right? And one day Phineas is doing this job and he's arranging all of his spikes when one of the bolts went off, shot the spike up. The spike entered Phineas behind his chin, travelled through his head and partially came out the top of his head. So there's a spike travelling through his head. Doctors managed to remove it and Phineas survived. But doctors noted that after the accident, he was noticeably more hostile. And they said that the reason for this is because he damaged the frontal lobes of his brain, and maybe this was the region of his brain that served to damp down violent mood swings. And you're going, oh, maybe. Or maybe it's because a spike just got shot up the back of his face, and now he can't eat steak. I mean, there's many competing views. What has changed? What has changed in the 3 years since the last tour to this tour? One thing has changed across the UK and Ireland in the last 3 years. Where did all the pulled pork come from? Exactly. And more importantly, how did we survive until now without it? Every meal in every restaurant. Do you want a bit of pulled pork with that? I have a bit of pulled pork. We slide a bit of pulled pork into there, like whatever. It is a cheesecake. It has no use for pulled pork. You are Patisserie Valerie. You do not need to get on the pulled pork train. Where there were a lot of pigs in 2014, just around the offices of the pig marketing board, they go, Jesus, pigs everywhere. Jesus, I can't get away from the pigs. Just if I open a drawer, there's a bloody pig inside it. If I could tear them apart with my bare hands. Oh, hello. Right, there's an idea. We are not a sentimental people, the Irish, right? We're quite cynical and hard-edged. Oh, we'll sell sentimental. We will sell sentimental like you cannot believe. We will get Americans over and we will make them weep for our mysticism and sense of the soil and our poetic souls. Is any of it true? But we will sell it, right? And I don't just mean the Republic of Ireland, right? Is there any here from Northern Ireland? Any here from Belfast? Belfast is a fantastic city. If you want to go somewhere to eat or drink and have a party, Belfast is amazing at the moment, right? But Jesus, if you could wring one more coffee shop out of that Titanic disaster, you would. Jesus, there must be something else in this. There must be something else in this. I said that in Belfast and a woman in the second row raised her hand and I said yes. And she said, there is now an Asian restaurant here called Titanic. The BBC have repeatedly asked me to do that show, Who Do You Think You Are? Do you know the one I mean? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, the one, sorry. For those of you who don't, it's a genealogy show where they track through the earlier generations of your family, you know, to find out what stories created your family history. No way am I ever going in that. Partly in a kind of a, ah, Jesus, no, right? But also in a kind of a, there is no way that, like, half the time they go to people and they ask them to do this, they come back to them 3 weeks later and go, listen, we've just done some preliminary research into your family, and can we just say, oh, you, oh, what a life you have led. But your family, Jesus, nothing. Nothing has happened in your family for seven generations. We have gone back to the 1801 census, and it has dung farmers the entire way down the line. Right? And I suspect that would happen to me. The O'Briens are just very ordinary stock from a place called Bray, County Wicklow in Ireland. You go back a couple, good stuff, very, very good. Go back a couple of generations, we're just like, you know, we're working on the railways, nothing particularly exotic there. My mother's family, the Himmlers, again. Nothing really exceptional, no stories, no papers, no photographs. Really a surprising lack of any documentation at all. I mean, I remember saying this to my grandmother once, Großmutti Himmler. Warum are there no papers or documents? And she would just look at me and goes, what is with all the questions? We are simple farming people from County Mayo. Why can't you simply accept that? Oh, cabaret, oh, cabaret, oh, cabaret.
He's no stranger to the television and indeed the stage either. Dara O'Brien giving you a couple of laughs, I hope, this particular week. And next week we'll feature a different comedian from Ireland. If you have a particular suggestion of somebody you would like me to feature, happy to do so. You can contact me, as always, by email, ger@tre.radio. Here is a man from County Clare. I've actually tried to play this song a couple of times over the last number of weeks and I just haven't got to it. But it's a song that's written about Donica O'Dooling, who was an Irish broadcaster, but then started to do walks for charity, and he became synonymous with walking around Ireland, raising funds for people and well-known charities. But he was also a great man for visiting people, and he was going, he'd go and he'd have sessions, and various sessions being musical sessions. And PJ Murray, he put pen to paper and wrote a song about Donica. And Donica O'Dooling, a song called Donica's Fáilte Isteach. That means Donica's Welcome In.
On Saturday night, 'tis my delight to turn the radio on and hear the man from Donegal play all our favourite songs. There's Gonzal and there's Kerry, and requests are chock-a-block as Donica O'Dooling introduces Fáilte Isteach.
Now Donica has been on the air for nearly 50 years, and to his friends around the world he always brings good cheer. And they're listening in America, Australia and Bangkok, for they love to hear the songs from home being played in Fáilte Isteach.
For the people who are lonely and living on their own, the friendly voice of Donica is welcome in their homes.
He loves to talk of Christy Ring, the maestro from County Cork. I wonder what we'd ever do without Fáilte Isteach.
When the soulful sounds of Cayley House fade out at 10 o'clock, to the parlour of dreams we go to tune to Fáilte Isteach. From Daniel to McCormack, all those classic songs you'll get. The great Foster and Allen, and there's life in the old dog yet.
Through the highways and the byways, Donica has walked for years. To thank the Choctaw Indians, he's walked the Trail of Tears.
From Killaloe up to Clontarf, Spain and the Holy Land, wherever people needed him, he's always lent a hand. The voice of Bridie Gallagher and Delia Murphy's songs are loved by Fáilte listeners. Long may the show go on as we say goodnight to Donica and go our separate ways. Pull out the door behind ye, it's imperative, he says. Pull out the door behind ye, it's imperative, he says. Good night, Donica.
That's a man from West Clare. His name is PJ Murray. He wrote a song about Donica O'Dooling called Donica's Fáilte Isteach, and that means Donica's Welcome In, or, you know, you're welcome in. Fáilte being welcome, Isteach is in, so Donica's welcome. Let's have a look and see what's happening in the area that might be opportunities for people to get involved in, no matter what nationality you are, whether you're Irish or English or Scottish or Welsh or French or German or Norwegian or whatever it is you happen to be. In Benalmádena, Age Concern Fuengirola Mijas opened its new social club in Arroyo de la Miel this morning. The Day Centre, the charity's fourth, is open to English-speaking community of Benalmádena and surrounding areas and will offer weekly meetings, monthly lunch clubs, outings and special social events. The new centre was inaugurated by the mayor of Benalmádena, Victor Navas. It's located in Mesquita Square in Benalmádena. The Age Concern welfare team is available to answer questions, and volunteers will offer information on ways that local community, that's you and me, can get involved with the charity. Staying with charities, the Kudeka Hospice charity is appealing for volunteers for its sunflower campaign, which will take place from October the 4th until the 30th of November in churches, health centres, hospitals and post offices throughout Malaga. The foundation has said that a large number of people is needed to help with the event to raise funds to allow the charity continue its work for caring for people with cancer and other advanced illnesses. Volunteers are invited to call 697-146-987 or you can email giorasol@kudeka.org. All right, giorasol@kudeka.org, or you can check out their website kudeka.org. The general election in Gibraltar takes place on Thursday the 17th October, about a month ahead of the Spanish general election. Remember that if you are eligible to vote in Gibraltar, you have to register in advance, and if you don't, you will not be allowed to participate on the day. The election takes place on the same day as the European Council meeting, which is expected to be very important for the future of Brexit. Now, if you happen to be looking for work in Malaga, this might be of interest to you because the designer shopping village currently in the last stage of construction, which will become part of the Plaza Mayor complex near Malaga Airport, has advertised for retail staff for in the region of 100 luxury shops. 115 positions are advertised on the Malaga City Council's employment service website, IMFE. The ads are written in English and don't specify what retail brands they are for. Along with looking for people with experience, the ad suggests that applicants should have fluent Spanish and English. Those who speak Arabic and Russian are also invited to apply. 15 store managers are required as well, as is a guest services advisor. More information can be found at www.malagaempleo.com. That's Malaga, E-M-P-L-E-O, all one word, .com. A British crime movie, which was filmed in Marbella and Estepona, will get its world premiere in Puerto Banús on the 4th of October. Rise of the Foot Soldier Marbella follows British gangster Pat Tate, who travels to the Costa del Sol after escaping from prison in the UK. It's billed as Britain's answer to Narcos. The movie was filmed around locations including Cabapino Port, La Cuenta Hills in Benavís, Aloha Pueblo, the Golden Mile and the Old Haven Beach Club in Estepona. If you fancy going along to the premiere, tickets for the red carpet event cost only €100 each. That's right. And that covers the entry to the premiere. And that's happening at the Teatro Goya in Puerto Banús. And it also gets you into the celebrity VIP after party. An expensive night out of the pictures, isn't it? Indeed. Malaga's Contemporary Art Centre, CAC Malaga, is reopening in the first fortnight of October with an exhibition focusing on one of the current most prominent figures in the world of art, Irish artist Sean Scully. The exhibition comes after a company recently signed a contract to manage the exhibition space. Sean Scully's exhibition at CAC Malaga follows its time at London's National Gallery earlier this year. So if you can get along to any of those, or if you get interested in getting involved in anything that we just mentioned there, and if you need further information, you can email me, Ger, G-E-R at TRE.radio, and I will happily send it back to you. Here's a song that I haven't heard in a long, long time. Haven't played it in a while either. Here's Gilbert O'Sullivan, a song that's called Get Down from the 1970s.
Your feet so was as happy as could be, happy as could be. Now I'm just like a cat on a hot tin roof. Baby, what do you think you're doing to me? Told you once before, and I won't tell you no more. So get down, get down, get down. You're a bad dog, baby, but I still want you around, around. I still want you around.
That's a great song from Gilbert O'Sullivan. It's called Get Down from the early 1970s. I am going to take a very quick break. Come back to me just after that. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a look at some of the events coming up over the next couple of months that you might want to put into your diary.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
I hope you have your diary in front of you, because I'm going to give you some information on events coming up over the next couple of weeks and months that might be of interest to you. In this part of the programme, we will also be playing the number one song from this day, the 23rd of September, back in 1966, and it's a very good one as well. But first, let me tell you, if you were listening to the programme last year, around September, early October, I did an interview in relation to the Cathras Irish Fla, and it went down an absolute storm. Well, the 16th edition of the Cathras Irish Fla will take place this year from the 25th to the 27th of October. Dervish will be the headlining act this year, and there is great excitement about that. There will be many other great acts throughout the weekend, and if you want further information, you can contact CathrasIrishFla.com, and Cathras is spelled CACERES Irish Fla, FLEADH.com. Creative Connections Irish Arts Festival will take place this year from the 24th to the 27th of October. So it appears that seems to be the weekend for Irish festivals. Paddy Casey is going to be headlining the festival, and a full list of the lineup of the entertainment can be found on their webpage, and that's creative-connections, CONNEXIONS.EU. Some of you may remember the Loco Por Loca concert, which was celebrated in the Residencia de Estudiantes in Madrid in April of last year. Well, this year, the show will be taking place in the Centro Federico García Lorca, which is in Granada, and it happens on Thursday, the 7th of November. The event is a joint Hispano-Irish evening of poetry and music to celebrate the 120th anniversary of Federico García Lorca's birth. The programme includes five García Lorca programmes, recently translated into English and Irish, read by poets and accompanied by musicians, with traditional music, including newly composed music enhanced by screened images. Sounds absolutely lovely. The Chamber Hall of the Auditorio Nacional in Madrid will host a concert presented by Fabian Panaceo's Plura Ensemble, titled Schoenberg and Music in Ireland in the 21st Century. It happens on the evening of Tuesday, the 12th of November. The Irish work selected for the programme by Fabian, in conjunction with the Contemporary Music Centre in Dublin, that's cmc.ie, are as follows: Jane O'Leary, Between Two Waves of the Sea; Deirdre Gribben, To Bathe Her Body in Whiteness; Garth Knox, Wild Animals; Kevin O'Connell, Little Overture; and Ed Bennett, Strange Fiction. More details can be found at a later date on their website. And finally, Project Music, based along the Costa del Sol, has announced details of forthcoming events. Free ticket events. Cello Duet from South Korea happened actually over the weekend, but there is one further performance tomorrow night. A jazz trio from Ireland from the 31st of October will be appearing. Simona Mango, mezzo-soprano, and Bruce Reynolds on guitar will be appearing in November, and an evening of piano and saxophone in December. Further information on these events, which are all happening in Alveria, can be obtained by emailing pmmtickets@gmail.com. So there we go. Just a quick look at some of the events that are happening over the next couple of weeks or months. And if it's a thing you're interested in going along, I am sure you will have yourselves a wonderful time. One of the people that was mentioned in that was Paddy Casey. He's going to be taking part in the Creative Connections Irish Arts Festival from the 24th to the 27th of October. Let's take a track from Paddy Casey right now.
I'd love to tell you, but I haven't quite worked it out yet. Don't want this story to be one that is filled with regret. I'd love to tell you, but it might be no business of mine. Too busy looking, you never really see the signs. And maybe I'm just addicted to company and I love places to go and I love people to see. And that's alright. It's enough for tonight. And that's alright. And I don't wanna add to this tale of illusion. I'm just telling you stories that don't belong in your head. And I think I'd rather just watch you dance instead. Maybe I'm just addicted to company and I love places to go and I love people to see. And that's alright. It's enough for. Sure. Are you looking for a sign? Waiting for somebody? Throw your heart a line. Or a quick and easy answer? In a dark uneasy time. Maybe that's alright.
Wonderful Paddy Casey, who will be taking part in the Creative Connections Irish Arts Festival from the 24th to the 27th of October. And you can find out more about that at creative-connections.eu. And connections is spelled C-O-N-N-E-X-I-O-N-S. All right, that's a song called Addicted to Company. I did promise you that I would play the number one song from this day back in 1966. We like to take a look back every so often at the number ones and play them for you. A man by the name of Joe Dolan, he started off singing with the Drifters and became an absolute sensation pretty much overnight and went on to have a fabulous career. He died in his 60s, late 60s, but died way too young and was still performing and was doing exceptionally well. He had a hit with this particular song way back in 1966. It's a song called Pretty Brown Eyes.
Until he passes by. brown eyes keep telling me lies, but you can't hide the hurt where the smile of disguise. You can hide all you're feeling until he passes by.
One on this day back in 1966 in Ireland, the wonderful, the late, unfortunately, Joe Dolan, and a song called Pretty Brown Eyes. Let's do a very quick break, come back to me just after that, and George and myself will be hosting the G2 Summit.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
You are very welcome to this week's G2 Summit. The two G's, Ger Sweeney, that's me, and George Lee, that's him. Hi, George.
How you doing, Ger? How are things?
Things are absolutely fantastic. And for those who didn't hear last week's G2 Summit, I offered to buy George a cup of tea, and he said he'd love a Chinese. So we had a Chinese. Did you like it?
It was lovely, Ger. It was absolutely lovely. It was even nicer that I got you to pay for a change.
There was a big row, but I lost out in the end. Here we are again to take a look at some of the stories that were making headlines and we were talking about in Ireland over the last 7 days or thereabouts. And I suppose, George, before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, the ploughing championships was a huge success this particular week because the weather was glorious. There was something like 115,000 people per day there and everybody seemed to have a great time at the great event that is the ploughing championships.
Yes, sir, it appears to have been. I didn't make it myself this year. I was there last year. A wonderful event and a wonderful Irish, I suppose, very Irish event, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, really.
It's a bit like an All-Ireland final. You couldn't describe it to people who haven't been at it, but it's just so Irish.
Well, George, there was two big stories this week, and we'll deal with the first of those now, which is a fairly unpleasant story. The Director and Chief Operating Officer of Quinn Industrial Holdings, Kevin Lunny, was brutally attacked near his home in County Fermanagh on Tuesday evening. Now, the Police Service of Northern Ireland described the attack as savage. Mr. Lunny, as I said, was abducted near his home. He was driven to another location where the attack took place, and then he was left on the side of the road in County Cavan. And I heard that even with the extensive injuries that he had and open wounds that he had, they poured bleach on him to take away any forensic evidence that may have existed. So this poor man has obviously gone through quite a lot. But this is not the first attack on a director or a member of staff from Quinn Industrial Holdings. It's a bad story.
It seems to be, Ger, and it certainly doesn't reflect well on that border area. And one of the things that I haven't heard said, but I suppose that does come into my mind a little bit when I'm listening to this story during the week, is in terms of Brexit and in terms of borders and in terms of all of that, is this a return back to the bad old days? And we just hope that that isn't where this is going. Quinn Industrial Holdings, this has been subject of so many litigations, and NAMA and Anglo-Irish Bank. And I mean, there's been books and books and books written about all of this. But this is very sinister. This man already has had his nose broken earlier on this year. He's trying to make a living. He's in a tough business. They've managed to turn this business around. Sean Quinn, again, has condemned these attacks. Of course, Sean Quinn was the man that founded all of these businesses. He was brought in as a consultant. He didn't last terribly long as a consultant on these. And now these incidents have started to happen. But what's even more sinister is that in breaking news this morning, apparently one of the things that was said to this man when he was being beaten up was that we're going to kill five of the executives.
Wow.
And this is very, very serious. And I think it is being taken very seriously by both the Gardaí and the PSNI on both sides of the border.
I think to say that it's been taken seriously would be correct now, but I think before this particular event, because somebody I heard on radio during the week were saying that the dogs on the street know who's behind this. Now, this is not a paramilitary operation per se. It appears that some former or current paramilitaries may have been engaged the other evening to do what they did. But it appears that there's another story behind this. And if you read between the lines and listen between the words on the radio and TV, there's a picture emerging and it's not a nice one.
It's not a nice one, Ger. And I suppose nobody is naming that picture because mm-hmm. they can't.
Thankfully.
But equally, people that carried out these attacks are psychopathic. There is absolutely no doubt about it, that you could not do what I've heard described that was done to this man without having some level of a mental illness. And that's been quite honest.
All right, George. Well, hopefully he'll make a speedy recovery. I know he's had to undergo surgery, so we do wish him well. On Friday, thousands of students across the world took part in strikes. And this country was no exception. There seemed to have been a very good turnout on Friday. And the idea is to demand more action from governments on climate change, inspired by the activist Greta Thunberg. Students and from schools and colleges across Ireland and indeed other places marched to demand action on climate change. The politicians have to listen to this, George, don't they?
Well, I think they are going to listen to it in some way, Ger. The difficulty with all of these type of activities is, I suppose, that you always wonder where they'll wind up in the end. And you just don't want people to wind up on the wrong side of protests. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful in one way to see young people getting so exercised about the environment and about the world in which they're going to live, because let's face it, in whatever number of years we're not going to be around, but it is the world that's being left to them. I was reading some of the commentary on it. Somebody else managed to point out that McDonald's were actually full in Dublin all day yesterday.
Really?
And kind of wonder, you kind of, in one way, you say, all right, yeah, do they quite get this? You know, but the Green Party benefited, of course, from a surge in support in the local and European elections. This is being organised by the Schools Climate Action Network, Fridays for the Future, and School Strikes for Climate Ireland. Now, Ger, that said, when you were that age, and if you got a chance to take a day off school and match in anything, you would have done it as well. So I suppose, look, you have to put that little pinch of salt on it as well. And you just hope that this doesn't come between kids and their studies as well.
You've got children around that age. Are they engaged with this? Are they thinking about this?
Not particularly, Ger. I don't think it has taken on as much in Limerick as it has in other places. That would be my feeling on it. They would have a level of understanding of the environment. And I think that has come through the school system, to be honest. But also they would approach things. And I think, you know, that there's always going to be people on the extremes of everything, and I think my lads are probably somewhere in the middle.
Okay, all right then. Well, that's fair enough. The beef crisis, George, I've kind of lost track of this because I've been kind of busy myself in the last week or thereabouts, so I'm only getting bits and pieces of the news. But it's continued over the past week, and there have been further developments today. Some farmers are continuing to protest at meat processing factories, despite the organisations calling for blockades to be stood down. A number of protesters at the gates of factories have dwindled in recent days. There seems to be a big lack of communication. There seems to be a lack of understanding as to what exactly is going to happen next. And it doesn't bode well.
It doesn't, Ger. I think a lot of what's happened now is that farmers are beginning to see that this is affecting them as well. Mm-hmm. Because there's a glut of animals now in the market. Farmers themselves, obviously, if the beef factories are closed, can't sell their animals into beef factories. That's the feeling and the soundings that I'm getting back in talking to a number of farmers even on it.
Nice.
I did point this out even in our talk last week, that the whole agriculture movement and the farmers' movements seems to have become very fragmented.
Yeah.
Over the last while. But this beef plan movement negotiated on behalf of the farmers last week. They negotiated a settlement, and then there seemed to be a logjam that the farmers weren't listening to them. But then by the time Monday and Tuesday came along, things began to happen. And I think, as we predicted ourselves last week, what's actually happened now is that individual deals are probably being done in individual areas. Right. And I think that's probably where the solution to this is coming. If I were to call it, I'd say this is going to dwindle away into nothing, and that that everything will be back to normal fairly soon.
I think this is a nice story, and it's something that, I don't know, has it gone under the radar or just didn't hear too much about it, but a plaque commemorating the events of the Easter 1916 rising in Dublin has been unveiled at the Washington Monument in the US Capitol. Now, the plaque, which displays the 1916 proclamation, was unveiled as one of the most, or at one of the most iconic landmarks in the US, as it reopens after several years of construction and repairs. Isn't it nice to see that happening?
It is, and I have to tell you, Ger, until such time as you sent me on our notes and our running order on this one, I actually hadn't heard this story. The plaque was presented by President Michael D. Higgins to the US National Park Service on behalf of the Irish people. It's the first plaque to be installed at the Washington Monument since 1982 and joins 193 other plaques at the landmark. US Interior Secretary David Bernhardt said that it serves as a reminder of the special camaraderie between the people of Ireland and the people of the United States. So that's quite nice.
And when you look at it, despite who's in the White House at the moment and despite what people might think, there is and always has been a wonderful bond between the two countries, because I suppose, no more than when you look across the channel and you look at Britain, you know, so many Irish people went to Britain, so many Irish people went to America. And it's great to see that the traditions and the respect and the, you know, the looking back at the homeland, as we'll call it, is still going on.
Yes, Ger, and if I could maybe refer to it as well, because over, of course, the last couple of days, we've had Culture Night here in Ireland as well. And I was intrinsically involved in that myself from a Bunratty point of view last night. And we in the show that I'm involved in Bunratty tell the story of Irish emigration. And I see it night after night. I see it day after day. Mm. People coming to Ireland, finding their roots. One of the places that always strikes me as being very Irish, of course, is Newfoundland.
Yeah.
And an awful lot of people come from there as well. Irish people have gone all over the world. There's 80 million people now claim Irish heritage across the world. You know, we have made a big impact for a small country.
Talking of big impacts, a lady, a young lady in her early 20s who passed away not so long ago from Ennis in County Clare, a lady by the name of Laura Brennan. And Laura unfortunately died from cervical cancer. And there has been a big campaign underway in Ireland over the last wee while because of the cervical cancer screening cock-up, I suppose is all you could call it, and the way that it has affected women. And the need for the message to be driven home, really, that the HPV vaccine is something that is so important for women to take. And Laura Brennan, before she died, was so much part of the campaign to get young girls particularly to ensure that they get the HPV vaccine. I say this because the other evening, was it Monday evening, there was a documentary on RTE about Laura Brennan. I didn't see it, but I know you did.
I did, Ger, and it was one of the most stirring and most compelling, most wonderfully made pieces of television that I've seen in quite a while. I was very taken with it. I was taken with the lady. I've always been taken with Laura Brennan. And, you know, her legacy is a massive one. But to see with the way in which she approached her illness with dignity, without rancor, she saw her illness as being an opportunity for her to challenge the state, to challenge parents, to challenge people around the country into making sure that young ladies and young men now as well, by the way,
yes,
that get the HPV vaccine, which is a lifesaver. She was 26 years of age. She battled royally for 3 or 4 years. It took us right the way through her illness. And one of the things that she had said in making the documentary was that she knew she was going to die, and she wanted the picture of her to be shown in her coffin before they closed it.
Really?
And that was where this story started. It wasn't done in any sort of a voyeuristic way. It was actually done in a way that showed hope, that showed the tenacity of the lady, that showed how strong she was. They spoke to her parents, they spoke to her friends, they spoke of the heartbreak, they went on her journey with her. But the overwhelming feeling that you got when the documentary finished was, wow, this is a lady who lived 26 years and she made a difference. Okay. And I think that is the most powerful legacy that that lady can ever have had.
And when you see the efforts that she made and the success that she had, and when you look at the likes of Vicky Phelan, who is living with her illness and has just written her book, it's the number one bestseller at the moment, you just wonder where they get the energy and where they get the vigour just to get out there and try and do something to save others having to go through what they went through. It's phenomenal.
Well, Jerry, and you and I have had conversations. I think if you're driven on something, I think if you believe in something, I think if you have goals and you know you want to try to achieve those goals, you will move heaven and earth to do them. And you will always find a way. And I think that's really what has happened here, is that when people's lives become so focused on what they want to do and the legacy they want to leave, that nothing will stand in their way.
George, to finish on, social media strikes again. And this is, it's a little bit of a funny story, but it's not, there's nothing funny about it, really. I was sitting at home the other evening and I got a message on one of the WhatsApp groups that I'm in. And it all centered around an Apple Green store in Dublin. And it has now been temporarily closed after a video on social media showed a rat in a food preparation area. This was a rat climbing out of a slice pan. Ugh, it was absolutely horrendous. But isn't it scary that things like that can happen?
It's, I suppose, scary that things like that can happen, first and foremost, Jerry. But what's even scarier is that they were happening for years with old fellas with mobile phones.
How did we survive?
You know, there's a part of me looked at that video, Jerry, and I was kind of saying, is this true or not? It was very well taken. It wasn't as if some fella pulled his phone out of his pocket and took a shaky video. You know, it was timed perfectly that the rat came out of the slice pan and did his thing, performed, and then disappeared behind an oven. I really said to myself, the guy that took this knew what he was doing, you know. But the Apple Green store was closed.
Yeah.
It's Cherry Orchard in Dublin. Apple Green, just for those people that may not know, is a chain of petrol stations that have shops attached to them and delis, and this was in the deli part of the Apple Green store. Look, social media, again, this thing went around like wildfire. The whole country had it. And then RTE News, and this is the interesting part of this, is how mainstream media are now picking up stories off social media.
Yeah.
And, you know, that didn't go unnoticed with me. We're in a changing world here.
We are.
You know, conventional television and what you watch on it is no longer down to broadcast channels. Social media is beginning to
set the agenda.
And it is now beginning to set the news agenda, which is quite interesting as well. So where all this is going to go, we've had these conversations over many weeks. I don't know.
Anyway, two things for sure. Apple Green will never be serving ratatouille. And I would imagine that the guy that took the picture actually probably saw the rat climb into the slice pan, because he had to get in before he could get out. I'd say he could have waited there 10 minutes for that to happen, I would imagine.
But presume that you're not going to play a UB40 at the end of this, are you?
A rat in my kitchen.
No. What am I going to do?
I don't think that would be appropriate. I suppose, you know what, only for the so many radio stations in Ireland are playlisted, every jock in the country would have been playing Rat in the Kitchen on their programme, I would imagine, last week. Interesting.
It's a bread and butter issue.
It's a bread and butter issue, that's it. Right, best thing since the sliced pan, without the rats, the G2, so much I know.
I think at that we better leave it, because there's all sorts of puns can come to mind.
Absolutely. George, a joy as always to talk to you, catching up on the news. Thanks very much, and look forward to your company next week. So do please look after yourself and have a good week.
God bless you, Ger.
And that is where we're going to leave it for another week. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. We had a bit of a giggle with Dara O'Brien. If there is an Irish comedian that you would like to hear on the programme, do please let me know. You can email Ger, G-E-R, at tre.radio. In fact, that is the email address if you've got any comments that you would like to make on the programme. I will be back with you next week. Before I go, can I say thank you to our Spanish-Irish cultural consultant and correspondent, Jose Antonio Sierra. Thank you so much for listening. I do hope you'll join me again next Monday. Until then, look after yourselves and each other. Bye-bye now.
Ger Sweeney presents Live on Era in association with emeraldconnection.net.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.